John chapter 8, as we think of our study in the Gospel of John once again, we come to John chapter 8, and we see once again the teaching of Jesus Christ. This is a passage that contains the second of the I Am statements. We saw earlier in our study of the Gospel of John, when Danny was preaching, that Jesus there taught that he was the bread of life, that he is the living bread, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. And so we recognize Jesus as the bread of life that came down from heaven. But here in John chapter 8, we are told that Jesus is the light of the world. And so we want to explore that today. And so let's listen to the Word of God and ask God to maybe open our hearts today and show us, maybe reveal to us more about Jesus as the light of the world. John chapter 8, beginning verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, You are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I'm not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. They work together, do they not? Jesus will say this numerous times throughout the gospel, and for that reason they're going to want to kill him, because he declares that he and the Father are one. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. So they were saying to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Father, thank you so much for, as I think of this passage, the idea of the sovereignty of Jesus Christ and your sovereign plan of salvation, that, Lord, you determine the hour. You determine our steps and our paths. You have laid out for us our life. And we thank you, Father, and we would pray that you would give us wisdom. Would you give us wisdom to know your will for our lives? And maybe there's one here today, Father. They feel as though maybe they are in the darkness. Maybe as a result of their sin, or maybe because they do not know what your will is. I pray today that they would seek Jesus Christ, that we would find ourselves turning to Christ, and as a result of turning to Christ, we would find that he indeed is the light of the world, that he alone can open our eyes, that he alone can shine the path for us, that he alone can reveal your will to us. Father, we lift ourselves up to you today, and we thank you for the one who is the light of the world, for we know that this world is filled with darkness. We look around, Father, and we see the darkness all around us. And how grateful we are today. Would you help us to appreciate the true light of the world? That you, Father, through your grace, have chosen to open our eyes and to reveal to us the things of God, and especially Christ, our Savior. And so we would pray, Father, that you would have your way in our lives, that you would, Father, take this passage. Would you, through your Holy Spirit, would you speak to us today as only you can do? Father, would you help us, Lord, to surrender to you, to submit ourselves to you in every aspect of the meaning, in every aspect of our lives, in every way possible. Would you find here a people that are surrendered to you? And we pray this in Christ's name. Well, as we think of this passage, obviously Jesus is talking about light. It is, in a way, a metaphor that is used, and there are a number of metaphors that are used in the Gospel of John, and I would say throughout Scripture. In fact, I would encourage you to take some time and study the word light in Scripture and see how the writers of the Old Testament and the New Testament use this word. Obviously, sometimes it's used simply for the idea of illumination. We turn the lights on. I was thinking about the importance of light. We know light is important. Obviously, if there was no light, nothing would grow upon the earth. If there was no light, we would be groping around, would we not? We were, this last weekend when we were in Wilmington, we stayed in a hotel room. And so, as is my habit, since it's a new place for me, I'm not aware of where everything is at, and I need glasses when I walk around. When I went to bed, I left a light on, partially because my wife is scared of the dark. No, not really. Not really. Neil's shaking his head. Neil's saying, don't do that. I've been there before. Don't get in trouble. No, not because we're scared of the dark, but because I know if I wake up in the middle of the night and I have to get up, I don't want to stub my toe or run into something because I would be in the dark and I would not be able to see anything. And so we know the essence of light. We know the importance of light, do we not? We know the importance of it. When we think of the idea, I think it would be good for us to define light from a biblical perspective today so that we can apply this passage to our lives. If we're really going to understand what it means that Jesus is the light of the world, we need to understand what that word can mean and what it does mean in this passage. And so sometimes light is used as a contrast to darkness. We say black or white, right or wrong, light or dark. In Genesis chapter 1, we hear these famous words. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was what? Good. So light is associated with goodness. That's one thing. We first of all recognize light came from God. Light is not its own entity. It did not come by accident. But God is the one that commands light. Whether that be physical light, or whether that be spiritual light, God is the one that directs light. All light comes from Him. And so if we desire to have true revelation, true understanding, we need God to impart that to us. But listen, once again, God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. So a contrast is used many times in the Bible as a contrast. And I would say, as you look through and you search the word light, you will find a contrast in a metaphoric way. Goodness and evil. We're going to see that played out in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. It simply means that God is pure goodness, that there is nothing evil, there is nothing wrong with God. God does not need to improve. We can't improve on Him. He doesn't need to correct Himself. God never makes a mistake. Let me say it again. God never makes a mistake because He is perfect in all of His ways. And everything evolves from Him. This is the message we have. And the way that John writes this in 1 John is actually very important. He uses three negatives here to point to the idea, absolutely no darkness in God. God is light, in contrast to darkness, and there is no darkness in Him, no, none at all. That's how John says it. It's very emphatic. So let's resolve that today, can we? Can we resolve that in our hearts, that although we have many questions about God, and although our hearts and our minds may doubt at times, they do they not? We have our faults, don't we? We are prone to wander sometimes, and we are prone to question God, and we are prone to misunderstand God. But let's resolve today that there is no darkness in Him. No darkness. None at all in any respect. Everything, whatever God does, it is good. And we need to look at it from the perspective that God is good because there is no darkness in Him. So light is used in contrast to darkness, and it can be used with the idea of good and bad as well. Secondly, light can be used with the idea of that which gives or bears illumination, something that gives off light. The one I thought about was James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good thing that is given and every perfect gift, it is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Where do perfect gifts come from? They come from the perfect God who is perfect light. He only gives good things. And there is no variation in Him. There is no shifting shadow. There are no shadows in God. Amazing, isn't it? He is pure light. We can think about that with Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration when He was transfigured before them. It was a bright light that they saw because He is pure, pure light. Thirdly, that which is illuminated by light. The idea, this idea of light is used in this way in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Maybe think of that song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. We could go back to the, is that the 80s, Dan? Go back to the 80s. It may seem a little corny, but it is true, is it not? He does shine. He is brilliant light. There are none that shine like Him. And He shines down on us. And we would pray that God would awaken us. Because once again, we are prone to fall asleep. Just like the apostles, the disciples of Christ. There they were. They were supposed to pray and they fall asleep. And Jesus comes back and says, are you sleeping again? And the Bible says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. We want Jesus to shine on us, do we not? Do we not want His face to shine upon us? Do we not want His goodness and His glory to be present in our lives? Do we not want the goodness of God to dwell upon us and in us? Surely we do. And so, let me give you a key thought today. It's really profound, just like the title. It is so profound. Jesus is the light of the world. It took me hours to accept it. I was like, it's so simple, Lord. It'd be too simple. It'd be boring. No. No, that's our problem. We're so familiar with these things that sometimes we take them for granted, do we not? And if we're going to be true expositors of the Word of God, if we're really going to look to the Word of God and say, what does it really teach us? What does it say? We don't need to come up with clever things. We just need to say what the Scripture says. Jesus is the light of the world. What does this world need that is in darkness? It needs light. And where does that light come from? Only Jesus, because Jesus is the only light of the world. First of all, once again, it comes from Him because all things were made by Him and for Him. And so we go back to the idea, where does light come from? It comes from God. So if we need light in any aspect of its meaning, we need it from God. I would say to you, if we need anything, we need it from God because all things evolve from God. Everything has been made by Him, and He is the one that holds everything together. So ultimately, we need Jesus. He is the light of the world. Listen, I want to tell you, this passage, once again, we see in the Gospel of John, this simple presentation by John the Apostle, and yet so profound in its teaching. Once again, so simple and yet so profound. I mean, is that not something you could teach the little children in our church? Jesus is the light of the world. And yet I would say to you, as we dig into this passage today, I pray that God would confound your mind as He has me to show us what it means that Jesus is the light of the world. For us to understand that Jesus would even say that. Because it is a huge claim of Jesus Christ to say, I am the light of the world. There are so many implications in that and so many ties to the Old Testament prophecies of the idea of light. First of all, that God is the one that said, let there be light. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Let's think about that for a moment, because as we think of the idea of the light of the world, we are once again pointed to Messiah. We're pointed to Christ. This is not something that is new to the teaching of the Bible. It doesn't just come about in the Gospel of John. It's based upon the teaching of Scripture. Let me show you, for example, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. So what is light. How do we gain light? From Scripture. We could, as you search that word this week, you will find that it points to the idea of God's teaching, God's Word. The light that we need to shine upon our path is the Word of God. Is that not what the psalmist says in Psalm 105? Your Word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet, right? It lights the way for me. Over and over again, Scripture talks about if we want to walk in the light, we have to walk according to God's Word. If we want to understand God and have a manifestation of who He really is, we need to look at Scripture because Scripture is light for us. But let me take it a step further. We know that. We know that. We've heard it 1,000 times, I'm sure. But did you know that light is associated with the Messiah? Let's go to the 5th gospel, which is Isaiah. Remember that scholars refer to the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament as the 5th gospel because it is so messianic in nature. So listen to these words here. In fact, I want to go back. I only gave a few verses. I want to read part of this for you in Isaiah 42, for example. Behold, my servant. Who is he talking about? Well, if you understand the book of Isaiah, you know that there are these portions of Isaiah that speak to the idea of God's suffering servant. We know who that is, do we not? Christ. Behold, my servant with a capital S, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. Who is that? Well, at the baptism of Jesus Christ, did he not say, this is the one in whom I am well pleased? Listen to him. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to Israel. Doesn't say that. To what? To the nations. Man, this is so gospel-oriented, is it not? Doesn't this just fit in with the idea of the Great Commission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, to all nations? All nations, all peoples. Christ died for the world. For God so loved what? The world that he gave his only begotten Son. That all those who believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, my soul delights in this servant of mine. I have put my spirit upon him. He's the one that will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. Grace, mercy. That's Jesus. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. Listen to this now. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. You notice in your translation, it's a capital Y for you. I have called you, my servant. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by my hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light. To whom? To the nations. What is the focus of God with respect to salvation? It's the nations. It's the people of the earth. Listen, long before Israel was a glimmer in God's eye, he had an eye for the nations. Long before he called Abraham, he had a plan for the nations. Long before he saved Noah, he had a plan for the nations. Long before he put Adam and Eve in the garden, he had a plan for the nations. The nations. Powerful, isn't it? Where is this light that we are to take? Where does it come from? It comes from God through Christ. He is the one that God has appointed as a light. We must tell people about Jesus. We must tell them God has made provision for our sin. We are walking in darkness, but there is a God who has provided light for us, and his name is Jesus Christ. Listen to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49, beginning of verse, let's do verse 5. Speaking of the servant once again, Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, that's who we're talking about. And now says the Lord who formed me from the womb to be his servant, capital S, to help you see that, capital S, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel might be gathered to him. Yes, Israel. His plan involves gathering Israel. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. This is the servant speaking. Listen. He says, this is what God says to his servant. It is too small a thing for you that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. It's not a question, it's a statement. Let me emphasize this. This is God saying to the servant, it's too small a task for you to send you only for the people of Jacob, the house of Israel. That's what he says there. Is that not what the Word of God says? It is too small of a thing. So what is he going to do? I will also make you a light of the nations. The nations. Wow. So that my salvation may reach where? To the end of the earth. Not just here in the U.S., not just in Israel, but to the remotest parts of the earth. We are to take the gospel. This is not just a teaching, it is a promise. His gospel will go forth. It is going forth. It is reaching to the ends of the earth. It still has a ways to go, but God's plan is taking it there. I wrote a friend of mine once again this morning that teaches at Southeastern Seminary, Old Testament Theology, and I said, meditating this morning on the Hebrew text of Isaiah 49, and he wrote back and said, this has become my favorite verse in the Old Testament, and it is the verse that is guiding everything I think about with the idea of missions and evangelism, that God has given a light to extend to the remotest parts of the earth for the nations to hear. That's why we promote a book called Let the Nations Be Glad. We have a reason to be glad, do we not? For if we were to look at parts of the Old Testament, we would think that we're excluded. Because once again, I'm not Jewish. I doubt that many of you are Jewish. And so if we were to look at it from the perspective of some Jews, we would say, man, there's no hope for us. But there is a hope for us, isn't there? Because the Bible says that it's too small a thing just for Israel to come to God. It's for all the nations to come to God. That's why when we look at the book of Revelation, we see a sea, a multitude of people from every tribe and tongue and people, because God is taking the message of salvation to the ends of the earth. Listen to Isaiah 51:4, just to give you a few more. Pay attention to me, O my people, and give ear to me, O my nation, for a law will go forth from me, and I will set my justice for a light of the peoples. God's justice, God's mercy, God's righteousness is for a light to the nations, for all the peoples of the earth. And I would say to you, once again, we live in a dark world. We live in a dark world. We need to take the justice of God to a dark world. And we need to say, just as the prophets of old did, thus saith the Lord. Are some going to be upset? Yes, they always have been upset. Are some going to be ridiculed? Yes, many have been ridiculed. Will some possibly be killed? Yes, some will be killed. Some have been killed. They killed the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to his own and they rejected him. Not that they just didn't listen to him. They despised him and they killed him. They put him on a cross. Because he said, thus saith the Lord, and he said, I am the light of the world. Listen to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. We know this passage very well. We focus on it around Christmas time especially. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. I think you should capitalize the G and the L there. They will see a great light. They will see Messiah. They will see Jesus Christ. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. How did the light shine upon us? Through Jesus Christ. When he came to this earth, it was announced by a star, was it not? We have seen his star, they said. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Where is your hope at? It should be in the Lord. When the Lord is your light, you have no one to fear. When the Lord is your light, you have no one to dread, because he that is in us is greater than the one that is in the world. Let me give you one more. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5. Come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. That's a good challenge for us. And so let me develop that from this passage here this morning in John. In John chapter 8, I want to challenge us to walk in the light of the Lord. If Jesus is the light of the world, that means that we must walk in the light, not in the darkness. We have been called to walk in the light, not the darkness. We talked briefly about this before, especially last week, the idea of we don't need to go certain places because we know that they are darkness. There are certain things that we do not need to do because we know that they are not good. We are called as a people to walk in the light. That means to walk in Christ. The Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, numerous times in his writings, he pens those words, in Christ. In Christ. We are in Christ. We are saved by Christ. That word can be in, with, by in Greek. That little word, in, that we translate in, can be in, with, by. We are located in Christ. We are hidden in Christ, are we not? We are with Christ because he said, I will never leave you nor depart from you. And we are walking by faith in Christ. He lives in us. And we are to walk in the light, not the darkness. Everything that we do, once again, is to reflect the light of God, the purity, the holiness of God. Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For God, who said, light shall shine out of the darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Once again, where does this revelation of Christ come from? It does not come from ourselves. It does not come from our own intellect. It comes by the revelation of God that he shines this light in our hearts. He opens our eyes. Our eyes were closed. And he opens them. We were dead, and he quickens us. He makes us alive. Just as he breathed the breath of life into Adam, so he breathes his spirit into us to give us spiritual life, does he not? And what we need more than anything else is God to impart light upon us so that we can walk in a manner that pleases him. Listen to Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were formerly darkness. It's a powerful statement, isn't it? It's a convicting statement. I mean, we know passages like, we have all sinned and we all continue to fall short of the glory of God. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were all once enemies of God. And now he says, for you were formerly darkness, but we're not darkness anymore. Because why? We have the light of Jesus Christ in us. And I'll remind you, that in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus said, let your light shine. We might say it maybe a little more clearly this way. Not that we can improve upon what Jesus said. But to give you an interpretation, the light's not from us. It's not our light that we're supposed to shine out. It's the light of Christ that's in us. We are simply mirrors of the image of Christ, are we not? We're simply those that reflect the light of God. And insofar as the light is placed in us and God has given us revelation, we are to manifest that light to a world that is around us. And I would encourage you, when people say, man, there is light in you. I see light coming from you. That's Christ. Remind them, that's Christ, because the flesh profits nothing. And Paul would say, I recognize there is nothing good in me except what? The Spirit of God. Nothing at all. Once again, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. That's an important statement. He does not simply say, now you are light. No, you are light in the Lord, because of the Lord. by His power, because you are joined together with Him. Therefore, walk as children of light. Let us, as believers today, let us determine that we are going to walk in the light and not in the darkness. Listen to, this is one of the passages that we looked at in our time together as the elders. 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness. He has called us out of darkness. But He hasn't simply just called us out of the darkness. He has called us out of darkness into His what? Marvelous light. He has transformed us. He doesn't just call us out of our sin and say, have a good life. He calls us out of our sin. He says, you are now my child. You belong to me. And I want to use you as a priest for my service. To take the gospel to the ends of the earth. To make the light of Jesus Christ known to the ends of the earth. Listen to John when he talks in 1 John chapter 1. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. It's a good litmus test for us, isn't it? Remember that John has a number of tests that he announces here in the epistle of 1 John. He gives a number of tests there to be able to test ourselves to see if we are in the faith. And one of the tests we can do is say, if we are walking in darkness and yet we say we know the Lord, we are lying to ourselves and we're not doing the truth. It's time for us to ask God to search us and try us. And it's time for us to search ourselves, is it not? Or listen to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, I love that phrase. He is our life. Man, it's a loaded statement there. We could turn it several different ways. That means He is the source of our life. Why do we have life? Because of Christ. What is my life supposed to be about now? Christ, right? For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who what? Lives in me. And the life that I live in what? By the power of Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us walk in the light, not in the darkness. Let us appreciate and enjoy the light of life. Jesus said, once again in John chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Light of life. You know, more than any book in the New Testament, John talks about life. More than any book, John talks about life. Which reminds us once again the purpose of the Gospel of John is to cause us to believe in Jesus Christ so that we might have eternal life. But we should appreciate and enjoy the light of life. Do you know that God wants you to enjoy life? Now, I've been a part of churches, and maybe you have too, where I almost felt like people thought that God didn't want us to be happy. Where it seemed like most people thought that godliness meant being miserable. If you're doing something you like, then you must not be doing what God wants you to do. Because God is a restrictive God. God doesn't want you to have any fun. He doesn't want you to raise your hand. He doesn't want you to lift your voice. He doesn't want you to dance around. But God wants us to enjoy life. Not according to our definition, and not according to our culture, but according to His Word. What does God want us to delight ourselves in more than anything else? Delight yourself in Him, and He will give you the desires of your life, of your heart, of your passion, of your mind, all those things. We should appreciate the fact that God has called us out of darkness. We were all in darkness. It would be bad enough that we were in darkness, and in darkness for eternity. But the punishment, the condemnation of hell that is associated with darkness makes it even worse, doesn't it? To be in darkness is to be separated from God, because God is light and there is no darkness in Him, none at all. And so to be in a darkness is to be separated from God. I remind you, serious point here, I remind you that Jesus said, for those that do not receive him as Lord and Savior, that do not accept him, do not believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, they will be cast out into outer darkness. And there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth for all of eternity. But Jesus is the light of the world. And he can take you out of the darkness. And we should, more than anybody else, we should, as the people of God, appreciate and enjoy the idea that we have been brought into the light. That God has taken us out of the darkness. We did not even know we were blind. We did not even know we were in darkness. Listen, John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I love this passage here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things. All life comes from him. We have a favorite pet. You're not supposed to really have favorites when you have children, right? I thought about that. Another manifestation that we would not be good parents, because we do have a favorite pet, and we tell him all the time. He's our favorite pet, and we tell him not to tell anybody else. So he came in this morning to see me because he loves me. No, because he wanted a snack, because he gets wet food every morning. And his name is Mo. We like Wilson. Don't get me wrong. He's a good dog. But Mo's been around a long time. He's 10 years with us now. And so he is our buddy. And as I look at him, I realize, I know this might seem silly to you, but I do like this guy. He's been there through thick and thin. He's only bit me one time. And he learned a lesson not to do that, but he's never done it again. But as I looked at him this morning, I thought, you know, this guy, as maybe you have a good pet. Qualifying word there, right? A good pet. Maybe you've had a good pet, and you look at them and you say, you know, we really enjoy this pet. One day he's going to die. I mean, I know that he's not equal to people, right? He thinks he's a person, but I know that he's not equal in status as a person, because we are, people are the special creation of God. But there is something, the animals are just below us. There is something special about them. God did bring life into them. He has given life to them. And as I looked at him, I said, buddy, one of these days you're going to die. And I thought, that darn Adam. I did. I thought, Adam, he did this, man. He brought death to all of us, didn't he? He did. In Adam, all have sinned. And in Adam, sin has passed down so that all men die. And listen, I would say to you, not all men only, but all of creation groans in anticipation for the restoration that comes through Jesus Christ. This whole world is tainted. And as you look around, you see the effects of sin. And that stems from one man named Adam. But I remind you, there was a second Adam. The first Adam was a life-taking Adam. He caused sin, and as a result, death. But the second Adam came, and he is a life-giving Adam. And his name is Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world, and we should, above all people, appreciate that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave his life for our life. That he exchanged himself for our life, so that he would say, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come to give what? Life, and to give it abundantly. God wants us to have abundant life, not just in measure, but in quality. I mean, quantity would be the idea. He gives us eternal life, all right? That's a large quantity. But quality is that he gives us abundant life. And I believe that abundant life begins at the idea of salvation. Of all people upon this earth, we should be filled with joy because we have been brought out of the darkness into the light by our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Raise your hands to God. Lift your voices to God. Let there be thanks to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are more than conquerors in Christ. And so we should appreciate and we should enjoy the fact that we have been brought into the light by the one who is the light of the world. Lastly, let us embrace the testimony of God. You know, this whole passage really revolves around the idea that Jesus is given a testimony about who he is. And they say, you're testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. That was never the intent of the Old Testament passage. That was never the intent. The idea of how many witnesses you have doesn't declare that something is true. You can have many witnesses that are bearing false witness. And Jesus says, even if I do bear testimony of myself, my testimony is true because there is no darkness in him. He cannot tell a lie. Everything that he spoke is true, is accurate, is right, is good. The testimony of God. Listen to John chapter 1, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That's the problem that we have. The problem is not the light. The problem is those that can't comprehend it. Now, all the way through the Gospel of John, we see over and over again those that do not comprehend the light and those that reject the light. And surely, as people of God, we should not be found in the camp that rejects. We should be found in the camp that embraces the manifestation of God's testimony, which is Jesus Christ. We should embrace the testimony of God. What is the testimony of God? John helps us with that. Listen to this. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his son. He has declared concerning his son. When did God declare concerning his son? Well, passages like we read in the Old Testament. He declared, this is my son, today I have begotten you. Psalm 2, I will place my son, I will place my king upon Mount Zion. All through the Old Testament, we see again and again God's testimony of the one that he would send, who is his son. This is his testimony concerning his son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his son. In other words, I don't believe that. I don't believe the scripture. You're making God out to be a liar then. You're calling God to be a liar, and the love of God is not in you, and the Savior Jesus Christ is not in you. For we, when we have Jesus Christ in our heart, we confess Jesus is Lord of all. And no one can do that unless the Spirit of God is within them. Listen, the testimony of God. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given us concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life and that this life is in his Son. Jesus is going to say that in John chapter 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. To reject that is to reject God. To reject that is to forfeit light. To reject that is to call God a liar, because he has said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, was a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Or John chapter 3, verse 33. He who has received his testimony has set his seal to this, that God is true. When we believe in Christ, we recognize, God, you're right. You're right. Let me give you, as a way of parting today, let me give you a word of encouragement. It comes from the book of Revelation, and it's about light. Listen to this. John said, I saw no temple in this city. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it. And its lamp is the Lamb, the light of the world, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it in the daytime, for there will be no night there. Its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who is the light of the world, Jesus Christ. That's something to look forward to, isn't it? No more darkness, no more abomination, no more lying, no more evil, no more anything that is bad. But we will bask in the glory of God through the Son, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Have you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Are you in darkness today? Turn to Jesus, who is the light of the world, and you will find in him all that you need for living. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. We thank you. We thank you for your light that you have shown upon us. We thank you for Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And we pray that in this place here today, that he would be magnified and glorified. We would pray that in our lives, Lord, that the light of Jesus Christ would shine forth. That it would shine forth in our words that we speak. Lord, that it would shine forth in our attitudes that we have. Lord, that it would shine forth in our conduct that we have. As we go throughout our days in the midst of a dark world, I pray that instead of seeing darkness in our actions, that people would see the light of Jesus Christ. Would you help us, Lord, to guard our tongues? God, would you work in our mouths? Would you work in our tongues so that words that come forth from us would reflect the light of Jesus Christ? God, would you guard our actions? Would you hold us back, Lord, when we are tempted to do things that represent darkness and not light? Remembering that you have placed light within us and have given a commandment to us that we are to shine as lights in a dark world. Would you help us, Lord, with that? So that when people who are around us are wandering around in the darkness and can't find their way, that they would see that light. That they would see the light and that they would come to the light of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray that you would use us. Lord, let us be a people that are found to be walking in the light, not the darkness. Help us, Father, we pray in Christ's name.